hope. It's to see the essence of what thanksgiving or gratitude really is, to really see what it is, and to see how to do it, to understand the great consequences of not being grateful to God and to the people you should be grateful to. And then to end up the sermon by sharing how to be grateful. And then I'm going to ask you to participate toward the end of the message. But America, in its early days, was extremely grateful. The Pilgrims, after they landed on the shores, Plymouth Rock, and spent a grueling winter in which they buried their husbands and babies, excuse me, and wives. Yes, and the wives. Don't forget the wives they buried. And others, when the whole thing was over and they got through that winter, they decided to give thanks to God, though half of them were dead. And their tombs were seen on the mountain for them to remember, yet they gave thanks to God. Now, what an incredible way for a nation to get started. And then the war with New England, or with England rather, and our first president of the United States wrote this, where just after, I guess it was the first Thanksgiving Proclamation of America. It happened in October 3, 1789, whereas it's the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committees requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed, acknowledging with grateful hearts for the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and their happiness. Don't you wish we had a president that could write like that, convincingly, of Almighty God's blessings on America and how we need to give thanks for that? Abraham Lincoln wrote one of the most stirring, I don't have time to read all of it, but during a time when our nation was torn apart by a civil war in 1863, after there were 3-4 years of bloody fighting and things like that taking place, and I can't imagine this, can you? I can't even imagine what was in the hearts of mothers and fathers, children whose parents were lost, and kinfolks fighting kinfolks all across the Mid-South and Southern parts of America. And he wrote these words after being written to by a 74-year-old magazine editor lady and saying, "Don't you think we ought to have a Thanksgiving Day nationally?" For 15 years, she'd been asking the presidents to do something like that. And the first day that Abraham Lincoln got that request, he did something about it. And this is what he wrote on that day in his proclamation. He says, "This year is drawing close. It's been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties we're so constantly enjoying, we're prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are so extraordinary in nature that we can't fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequal magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression toward us, yet peace has been preserved with all those nations. Order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmonies prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. Needful diversions of wealth and strength and from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have arrested the plow, the shutter, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements." And he goes on, but then he writes, after he discusses all the benefits that that has been poured out on our nation, even in this great civil war, he writes these words as he closes. No human counsel has devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who while dealing with us in listen to this, who dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at the sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heaven. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, that they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners. It's just hard for me to read the rest of that. But he was just crying out for his nation to recognize all the blessings of God, how we need to repent of our sins, how we need to be thankful in the course of even a thing like the Civil War. Because God was righting things that were wrong during that time in our history. And we need to be thankful today, though in our nation, my goodness, how we need to repent. And God is turning men and women to enter the political arena who are going to help us get back to these kind of leaders who could write like this, who could pour out from their heart the spiritual qualities that all of us have to have, like thanksgiving. So don't you think this is a good message to have this morning, that we give thanks to God, we learn how to benefit from doing that, we learn how more to do so. So that's what our sermon's all about, developing a thankful heart. Now, before we get into it, I'm just going to quote one verse as a text, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. It's in your outline, about the third verse down in part number 1. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, and to which you are called, and be ye thankful. Now, let me share this with you before we pray and ask God's blessings on the text. A lot of times we're not grateful, we're not thankful, but yet we're commanded to be thankful. And so when a person has achieved the state of gratefulness and thankfulness, and he really or she is really thankful, then thanksgiving is easy, and it rolls out of your heart and life to others around you. So what we're asking God to do for us, I'm going to ask Brother Lynn to lead us in this prayer, is just to teach us from his word how to become thankful. And let's pray to that end.
Heavenly Father, we know, God, that your love is greater than any tongue or pen can tell.
Yes.
Because of this great love that you've had for us, we've been blessed beyond measure. You've touched our lives. You've protected us in times of danger. You've rewarded us when we needed comfort. You've been our mainstay, and we look to you this morning and call you Abba, Father. God, for all your blessings, we are made to know how thankful we should be. Mm. You've been so good to us. We will enter your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts.
Yes, amen.
Teach us, God, how to be even more thankful than we are for your great mercy and love toward us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Lynn. Our first point is this, that thankfulness, like every great spiritual quality that's potential in the human heart, begins or comes into existence by a choice that you make. As a matter of fact, our character that we have right now, our truthfulness or lack of it, our fidelity or lack of it, our ability to keep commitments or a lack of it, is all built into our life by choices we make toward our Creator. Choices that we choose to make, and the quality of life that we're had is the result of the choices that we make. And our happiness is a result of what we ourselves have chosen. Not what another's chosen for us, but what we ourselves have chosen. And our ability to be thankful and grateful is a choice as well. Listen to what the scriptures say about this as we share about three of those. In the book of Psalms, chapter 28, verse 7, the Bible says, "The Lord is my strength and is my shield. My heart trusts in him and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank him." You see, gratefulness and thankfulness is a condition of the recognition of the heart of the benefits that God or others have given us. But it's more than that. It's more than just the recognition that someone has benefited me or that God has benefited me. It is an expression of that. That comes out of our heart in our words or in our actions and our deeds. And until that happens, it's not really gratitude or thankfulness. One of the writers, another political leader, let me share this with you, and it illustrates what I'm saying. Gratitude is a quality that's similar to electricity. It must be produced and discharged and used up in order to even exist at all. Isn't that amazing? That unless electricity is used that way and used up, then it's not really, you don't have it. And gratitude and thankfulness is that way. You look at something that God has done in your life and your heart is moved by it. But if that's all that's happened, you're not grateful yet. You're not grateful until you do what? Until you express it with your words and your mouth, or with your actions. And that's why singing, that's why we begin a worship service with singing. We sing because it's a means by which we can give God thanks to what we're feeling. And so when you come to a worship service and you don't open your mouth and sing, what are you failing to do? Somebody help me. We're failing to be grateful and thankful. Otherwise, we're just listening to a concert. Well, otherwise, we're just saying, wonder how the music's going to be today. Or wonder how the preaching's going to be today. And every once in a while, it might be good just to open your mouth and say, amen. Okay, amen. See, that's another way of expressing yourself. But if you don't express gratitude, it's not gratitude yet. Do you see that? It can be a good feeling in the heart. It can be a warm feeling. You can be glad. But it's not gratitude until it's experienced in the heart and then expressed from the heart in a thank you or in an action or in a word. And so the psalmist said, man, when I think about God being my strength, he's the one that is my strength. Now let's look at some of this. You know, we don't have any strength apart from the strength that God has given us. If you have, if you're effective as an individual and you're competent on your job and you're able to earn a great income, that you had something to do that with that, but the one who had more to do with that is the God that gave you your intellect and gave you your strength and gave you your energy and ability to do what you do. And that's what the psalmist is recognizing here. God's my strength. He's the one that's helped me in my life, and so my heart is excited about it. It exults. I am lifted up inside of me because I recognize that what God has done in my life to help me to do what I do is mostly him. It's my saying yes to his ability and his power. And so he said, as a result of that, I'm going to, with a song, I'm going to give my thanks to God. Now look at the volition that's involved in the next verse, Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I shall magnify him with thanksgiving. So once again, see, in our singing, we've got to, whatever these words are, you know what I asked our worship leaders, and Carol and I have dealt with this many times when we were trying to help our worship leaders in developing songs. We want songs that are really biblically based, full of thanksgiving and praise and these kind of things to God, because this is what, it doesn't matter if it's just a really booming, great song, unless it really magnifies God. Do you see that? And that's why a lot of the old songs I really love, because I love all of them, but a lot of the older songs really seem to get, the songwriters seem to really understand about magnifying God and all of his wonder and love and mercy. And some of these old songs, Brother Lynn, I mean, they're just amazing, aren't they? Or the love of God, that song, that old song there is so rich in magnifying God. Now, what do you think it means to magnify God? I'm going to give somebody a chance to get in on my sermon. What does it mean to magnify God? Come on, chicken littles. Okay. What does it mean to magnify God?
Make him bigger than anything else in your life.
That's better than what I was going to say. But that's exactly right. See, when we say things about God, it makes him big to people. It magnifies him. They understand. That's why in a few minutes, when I'm giving our congregation a chance to be grateful and thankful to God, you'll probably learn more about that in your heart when people emotionally pour out a true thanksgiving to God for what God has done for them. They magnify God, and just like Tanya said, they make him big so he can be seen easily. Now look at this next verse. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you've been called. Do you see that what God is wanting us is to practice thanksgiving, to learn to sing when we don't feel like singing? When you ever come to church and the worship leader is lifting up songs or singing, do you ever feel sometimes, I'm just going to listen because I don't feel like singing? Has anybody ever felt that way before? Let me suggest to you that you do like Tom Davis. He used to do that, but he doesn't do it again because I got on to him again and again. But he used to just come and enjoy the music and sit there. And he never hit a note because he never sang a note. But then he started singing, and he still didn't hit many notes. But he hit one every now and then. Amen. And now he is absolutely a good singer. If you sat beside him, that booming bass voice could just carry you right on through. But if he kept sitting there like not on the log, that's all he would be. Not on the log in the congregation when everybody else is singing. So I'm going to be looking at our next song service for people, and so I'll start talking to you like I talk to Tom. And if you love me as much as Tom does, he lets me do it. Okay, amen. But do you see, you've got to express yourself. It's not good enough, you know, for your wife to know that you love her because you said it 20 years ago. That's not enough. You have to keep thanking her and praising her if she really feels like you're really grateful that you married her. Okay, amen. Amen. That's not even in my notes either, you know, so. All right. Theodore Roosevelt, another president that seemed to know about things like this. Listen to what he says. It's full of insight. Let us remember that as much has been given to us, much will be expected from us. And that true gratitude comes from the heart as well as from the lips, and it shows itself in deeds. So every Sunday, and Lynn prayed about this in his prayer, a very solid, biblical, wonderful prayer, that we come before God with thanksgiving. And see, you don't get a chance to stand up and give thanks to God every Sunday, but you can when you worship in song. You can thank God as you listen to these songs, and every song can touch deeply into your heart. And you say, well, why don't I feel that way, Brother James? Sometimes I don't feel grateful. I know what you mean, because sometimes I feel that way too. But the moment I start offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God and singing like I felt good, even though I don't feel good, you start feeling better. Is that not true, Judy? Amen. Yeah. And have you ever sung a special when you didn't really feel like it? Amen. But you did, and then you felt better as you sang. Because, see, the expression of the human heart when you contemplate the benefits that have been given to you by others or by God, when you express it, something happens in your heart. And I'll share that with you as we get down through the sermon. But let's look at the second part of our message. To fail to express thanksgiving will result in the degeneration of the human heart and its potential. Well, when you think about this, that when you fail to be grateful and thankful, your heart begins a degeneration process. Your heart is beginning to lose something that you don't want to lose. When you fail to be thankful, something bad starts happening in the human heart. Now, I'm not talking about the muscle of the heart. I'm talking about something much deeper than that, that will affect your heart later on, and maybe your whole body. But listen to what the Bible says. The result of a person realizing the goodness of God and yet not acknowledging God for that and neither being thankful. The Bible says concerning this in the book of Romans, because when they knew God, that is, they had some interaction with God on some level. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Do you see that when a person comes to know God, they know Him at first just as the stars and the moon and the wonder of this universe. They look up and they know there must be a God. They see clearly the design. And there's no such thing as a design without a designer. There's no such thing as a building without an architect or someone who planned it. And there's no such thing as thought that makes all of that true unless there is someone who thought it. And you come into realization there must be a God that did all of this. Or when you look out at nature. But what you do is so important. If you look out at all of this, it says, hot dog, I'm going to enjoy all of this. But you never think about the God who created this, and you're not thankful to Him. The Bible says your foolish heart becomes darkened, and you begin to have vain imaginations. Did you know that we have people today that have become atheistic in their own estimate of themselves because this is the process they've gone through? When they knew God, when they had the opportunity to interact with Him early in their life, they were not grateful. They were not thankful to this Creator, and they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And professing themselves to be wise, the Bible says they became fools and declared there is no God. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, what? There is no God. See, the Bible says a person knew that there was a God. They had a clear revelation through the nature and the creation all around them and through providence, but they were not grateful to God, nor thankful to God, and their foolish heart became darkened, and now they can say, there is no God. Now they can have vain imaginations about themselves that we created ourselves through some evolutionary process. But when we who are Christians and know God, and we cease to be grateful and thankful, and I want to ask you a question that you don't have to raise your hand, but I think all of us have been there. When we begin to lose our sense of gratitude and thankfulness because the power and might of our right hand hath gotten us all of this. You ever thought that? You ever thought that you were? I remember one day I was driving to a meeting when I was working at Southern Baptist College. Carolyn had dressed me in a three-piece suit, a herringbone suit, had a vest on it. I was slim and muscular in those days, had great-looking hair, looked in the mirror, was just bought the best car we had. It was a blue, light baby blue Torino. And I was driving that, and I looked in. I could not help but admire myself. And I looked in the mirror, and I thought, I bet my mama's proud of me. That's what I thought. I remember thinking that very thought. When I got to that meeting, I was so, it was terrible. My pride was totally crushed at that meeting. I couldn't even speak. When I got up to speak, it was my time to speak, it was like a large hand came and grabbed my throat. And I spoke something like this. When I stood up there in my beautiful suit, and I went, "We're proud." And I cleared my throat. I said, "My name is James Strait. I'm from Southern Baptist." And I squawked like a chicken for the next 3 minutes. And people that I knew out in the audience were doing like this. Like they were embarrassed if my eyes caught them, because they were laughing and trying not to laugh. But it was too funny. You couldn't help but. And a deacon brought me a cup of water and gave it to me and helped me somewhat. And I said, "God, help me get out of here as quick as I can." And as soon as I could say anything, I uttered a few syllables and left straight out the door. Didn't stay for the rest of the meeting. On the way back, I looked in the mirror. Still in the same baby blue Torino, same outfit, but my face was white as a sheet. And I remember praying, "God, what in the world happened back there?" And these words came to me. I don't know if I'd heard them somewhere else, but this came to me. "But James, if you'd have gone over there the way you're going back, you could have come back the way you went over there." And I realized that my pride of my heart, God is not going to let me have that. My vain imagination, my lack of gratefulness and thankfulness, because I thought I had done a lot of that. I thought I had made those things happen. I want to tell you, I don't care how good life is ever going to be for you, you are not the one that made it happen. He's the one that made it happen. And you need to give gratitude and thankfulness for him, because when you cease to be grateful, you lose humility. And because pride and humility are the opposites in a heart, and as soon as you become proud of your achievements, proud of your whatever you've done, you lose humility, and that's a condition of your heart. That's what happens when you're not grateful, when you're not thankful to God and to the people that you should be grateful to. The second thing that you lose is, or the thing that happens to you, is your imagination and perception become blocked, and you don't see life the way that it is. You know, people who have gone through great difficult times who remain thankful do not become negative about life. But when you lose your gratitude and your thankfulness about the things that have happened in your life, you will become negative, your heart will be darkened, and you'll get worse off. So if you cannot look at your losses very long. You have to look at what God has done in your life and praise him for that and worship him, because the moment you begin to praise, your heart becomes better. And the moment you thank God, not for what you lost, or you don't dwell on what you lost, you thank God for what you had and what he has given you, then your heart is made better. So you lose the imaginative powers of your life. You know, some people have the dullest life. They're so unhappy every day of their life. And they can make a huge difference in their life. Carolyn shared with me about the richest miser. Carol, could you share that? You remember she was a woman and her son was sick or something. Could you share that?
Her name was Letty. I can't remember her last name. But yes, in America in like the 1800s, she was the wealthiest person in America. Her son had an accident, and he needed to see he got an infection in his leg, and he needed to see a doctor. Well, let me just say that she was so miserly, she would not even turn the stove on to cook her oatmeal. She put water in her oatmeal and ate it cold. This is how much she wanted to save money. And so when her son became injured, she went to check to see who would give, like we have done many times, the best deal on the doctor, you know. But the thing is God had already provided her with that. And when her estate was settled, she was $8 million, something like that. You can go on the internet and just Google America's most miserly woman and find the details.
Okay. See, that happens, a heart that degenerates in generosity and gratitude because of a lack of thankfulness in line. And then a third thing, and the greatest loss that you can ever incur, is that you have the loss of love and the joy of personal relationships. As soon as you become ungrateful to God for what he's done in your life, you will lose love, because love is fueled by gratitude. Love grows and flourishes when there's thankfulness and gratitude between two people. But as soon as one becomes ungrateful and the love's not returned, a distance begins to form automatically. And it cannot be but otherwise. Even though the person's love may hold on and hold on, the ingratitude drives it further and further apart. And love is the greatest healer. Love is the greatest experience of humankind. Love is something that you don't want to ever lose, but you'll lose it, listen to me, if you're not grateful. If you don't say thank you, if you don't express the gratefulness from your heart for what God has done, you'll lose one of the most important things you have, the ability to feel love. I've talked to people, and they've told me, James, I just don't feel love anymore. And I think, well, I know why. I know why you don't feel love anymore. Because just the moment that you start looking at your spouse and not thanking God for what they've done for you, you'll start losing affection for them that moment. But when you start thanking God and start going over it like an inventory list of what they have done for you, how they've helped you, that sort of thing, your own heart begins to warm toward them. And that's the way friendships are lost. When friends no longer seem grateful or thankful to one another, they'll lose interest. They'll lose affection. So the loss of love is one of the things that happens when we lose our gratitude. And then one more, and then I want you to help me with the end of my message. And this one has to be the greatest. When you become unthankful, ungrateful, you have an inability to enter the presence of God. Is that not amazing? When people say, I don't feel God's presence anymore. I come to church, but I don't feel it. I remember in one church I was in, the church needed to be revived. And so I began to pray about revival and plan, talk to some evangelist, and he was praying about it. I felt good about it, so I was talking with our deacon board about it. And there was some contention about having a revival at this time. And so, can you imagine that, you know? But anyway, we had the revival, and man, it was glorious. We had people saved. It was wonderful. The worship was great. I mean, the church was on fire. I remember the guy that was contentious at the beginning. After it was all over, we were meeting, and he had his hands folded up like this, and he said, well, I know a lot of people are liking what's going on in the church, but I'm not moved. And I thought, if I had a bulldozer, I could move you, but that's about it, you know, because there was something wrong in that person's heart. Why he was not moved. And sometimes when you're in services and everybody else seems to be rejoicing and you're not, maybe that's a clue that you've lost your gratitude and you've lost your thankfulness that you ought to have in your life. Because when you have that, you can be in a worship service where there's just not much going on and get a lot out of it. And you can have a great time in the house of God. Now, I want you to help me, and we don't have time for everybody, but those of you feel led to, I want to teach as we finish up here how to have a grateful heart. But let me give you the proof text from what I just said. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout. Now, look at the expressions. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. See? When you can't get into the presence of God without thanksgiving. When you're in his presence, you're thankful and grateful for him, and you couldn't be otherwise when his presence is manifested. Now, how do you develop a grateful heart? Here's the first thing. You need to tell others what God has done for you. Listen to what the Chronicles says, 1 Chronicles 16:8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the peoples. Now, look around and see if you see any peoples. Can you see a few out there? All right, here's a chance for you to make known God's deeds in your life among the peoples here. That's the one way you begin to do that. And I want to thank God for 51 years of being in love with Carolyn Strait. She was tapped when I first met her. She was 14. I was 16. She didn't have good sense, and I had less than she did. And we have been together through these years. We got married young, and when I was 19 and she was 17. And she's been my salvation, really. When I was in Vietnam for a whole year, she prayed for me, wrote letters to me every day. Out in the boonies, when the helicopters would come in and they'd say mail call, they'd have a big bundle of letters here. One of them always had a big rubber band around it because all of them were mine. And they're made one or two. And those guys that stand around there, they hated me because they'd say, they put mine last, and they'd say, Private so-and-so, yeah, he got a letter, and maybe one more. Then say, Straight, and then throw the whole bundle toward me. They were all hers. And she did that faithfully all the whole time. And when I stopped writing back, I wrote back very little, but she kept doing that. And then she thought she was going to marry an accountant because I came home and got a degree in accounting, and I turned out to be a preacher. What a disappointment. You know, I mean, no, she said for a long time, I didn't marry a preacher because she was poor like I was. She wanted somebody that'd be a little bit in a different pay grade, as our president said one time, you know. But she said, boy, she dealt with that. And she became the best pastor's wife, I think, in the country. I really do. So I want to thank you, Carolyn, for God's work in your life. Now, okay, great. Somebody get ready, because this is what we're going to do until I finish this time up.
I was glad when Carolyn was called to be a preacher, too. I was glad to be a part of her ordination.
Yes, thank you.
I am so grateful that God got me through the first stages of my life so that I could have the life I have with Wayne.
Amen.
So if you knew me before, you would think, oh, my gosh. Anyway, I'm just glad he protected me. He had several opportunities to allow me to be killed, accidents that I could have been in, but he put his protective shield around me so Amen. That I could meet Wayne.
Amen. Amen. Would you stand up if you want to share something? I really hope I don't have to call you out. Okay.
Okay. You know, when you read through the Bible, you will get into parts of it that may seem boring. What they are lineages where that the scriptures speak of this person giving birth to that and the line that goes down from it and where this leads. And ultimately, it led to our Savior Jesus. But I am just, of course, grateful for my wife, but I'm grateful that God gave me two wonderful children. It's a lineage. And then those children gave me grandchildren. And this is a line that goes forth into the future like arrows in Amen. Your quiver that you shoot. And so I am over my head with blessings, and I'm grateful to God. But I just want to point to that one thing, that children are a blessing to God, and we have a house full of them.
Amen.
They are a blessing, but they are a lineage that goes forth, and we're to bring them up well in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I'd like Cindy to thank you, Thomas. You had a Thanksgiving to share, didn't you? Well, kind of abbreviate as much as you can. Okay.
Okay.
This has to do with our veterans, and I know we have a lot of veterans in this church. The place that I work at, we had a, it is a skilled nursing care facility, and we have several residents that are in the Alzheimer and dementia wing. Mm. And four of those were brought out to our veteran service.
Wow.
And bless their hearts, some of they're there, but they're not with us, if you understand what I'm saying. But when they rolled them in those wheelchairs, and they saw the color, they were instantly back at that time in their life. And four of them, two of them didn't even, they don't even speak on a day-to-day basis, and they are total care people. But they started to speak among the other men, and they were talking about the war and where they were and when the bombs went off. And instantly I thought, because they gave of themselves, amen, we're here today.
Amen.
And I didn't mean this to be tear-jerking, but just the thought of what they gave, what their families gave, what their wives gave.
Yes, amen.
And the ones that didn't come back. But instantly, God brought to their remembrance, and just to hear them talk about those colors and what it stood for, amen, and what this country,
yes, amen,
is here for. I was so grateful for people that did that. Amen. We got ready to dismiss the ceremony, and they asked if we could say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
They wouldn't just sit to honor that flag. We had to literally pick three of them up.
Amen.
Because they had to salute,
amen,
that flag.
Praise God.
Some of these men, God bless them, they have no idea where they're at on a day-to-day basis. But for that brief time, they came. God brought them back to us. And I just want each and every one of us, we have so many. Would all the veterans stand? We really, really have to appreciate what every one of these men did.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Man, that was worth it. Amen. Thank you.
You know, I look around and I see all the faces. You know what I see? God's greatest creation.
Amen.
I'm 91 years old. I passed more lighthouses than most of y'all's telephone poles. If you ever woke up in the middle of the night and heard men screaming for life, I do. Folks, that ain't good. I don't like it, but I can't help it. Men screaming for life. I can't hunt deer. I can't shoot nothing because I can't stand seeing things kicking and bleeding. War is hell, and we don't need it.
Amen.
And if we stay with God and trust in God, we won't have it. Amen. I believe that. God bless each one of you. You are precious. Yeah. You're precious to Him. You're precious to me. And I love you.
Amen. 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 We love you too, brother. We do. Wonder, does anybody else have something on your heart before we finish up here? This is your chance. Anybody? All right. Well, you can. All right. Good. He's going to praise God with a song.
I don't know if I can remember all the words, but I kind of remember the chorus, but. I need you more than yesterday. I need you, Lord, more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord, I need you more. More than the next heartbeat, more than the song I sing, And as time goes by, I'll be by your side. And I don't want to go back to my old life. I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you, Lord, more than words can say. I need you, Lord, and never before. I need you more. I need you more.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I just feel like I need to give some thanks. It's hard for me to express thanks, even though I am very thankful. But this time last year, we were badly in need of a roof, and I asked Carolyn and Brother James if they'd pray for us. And we got that roof, and I thank him so much today for that roof.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Praise God for that. Let me finish up with these other things, because doing this, and you can tell, I talked to someone checking my groceries out at Sam's and shared a Thanksgiving testimony with her. You can do it in a moment of time. And I'm sure that she's going to wind up coming to our church and visiting our church. She's a single mother. And God just touched her with the thanksgiving that I had for God, what he had done in my life. Now, here's the second thing, and I'm going to cover these rather quickly, and we'll be finished. I know we have a lot to do in getting ready for this afternoon. You need to pray, and this is more important than you'll ever realize, but pray over every bite of food that you eat. A lot of people, you know, God, I think, has given us 3 meals a day to share thanks. I've shared with you before, a lot of you haven't heard this, when Caleb, my son, was about the size of him. What is that boy's name? Yeah, Samuel. Yeah, a little bit bigger than Samuel. He went home with our worship leader, and when they got ready to eat, they just started eating without praying. Our worship leader did. And Caleb wouldn't eat. He just stayed there. And our worship leader said, "What's wrong? You're not hungry?" And he said, "Uh-oh, I bet you," said, "we didn't pray. Is that why you're not eating?" And Caleb said, "Yeah." He said, "We always pray before we eat at home." But he said, "You guys are like our dogs. You just jump right in there." And so it really taught them a lesson about praying. I bet you they prayed over every meal since then. Amen. But listen, I think God wants us to learn gratitude. That food came from God. Amen. It did. I want to tell you, there are people that are hungry that would beg for the food we throw out of our plates. We need to thank God for every bite. Listen to what the Bible says, why this is so much more important than you may have thought. The foods, I'm just picking right up in the middle of a verse in 1 Timothy 4:3 through 5. Foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, when you exegete this passage, here's what you come up with, that God designed the food that we are to eat, but we are to eat it with thanksgiving. Amen. That's just as much a part of it, because your body will make the chemicals with whatever you put in it, and it'll create nutrients and proteins and do all kinds of things, but if you pray over it, it'll do better. Your body will do a better job if you pray over what you eat, because God designed the food to go in and do everything it would do, but he designed it to be received with thanksgiving. Because when that's a condition of your heart that affects your immune system. Are you listening? It affects how your body fights disease if you're thankful or not thankful. A person who becomes ungrateful and bitter will definitely get sick. I can tell you that for sure. So pray. Use that time as a time to pour out your thanks for God. Then you need to pray even when difficult bad things happen, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And what that means is this, that that's happened is not the will of God, but the will of God is you to be thankful no matter what happens, to keep a grateful, thankful spirit. And then the fourth thing that I wanted to say is that you need to include thanksgiving with every prayer that you make. Sometimes we just pray and request God, oh, help me in my finances, help me in my health, do this or do that. But we don't put in thanksgiving. And God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Because this one of the four things that God says needs to be in every prayer. Thanksgiving needs to be in every prayer. So include that. Then the last thing, and I'm finished. Give a sacrificial gift to God every week and a word of thanks to someone every day. Plan to do that in your life. Give something to God out of what God has given you. That's a, you know, when we come and do an offering, in the Old Testament, they waved a sheaf, and it was called a wave offering. But what they would bring is a portion of what God had given them, and they every time. And so if you'll do that every week, it doesn't matter the size of it. God can bless it. He can bless it, and he can increase it. So a Thanksgiving offering to God once a week is just saying thank you for all that you have done in my life. Carolyn gives our offering every week, and what she does is she's prayed, thanking God for forgiving us our sins when she's going up there to give her offering. And she prays that God would deliver us from debt and get our church to be debt-free and to bless and prosper and thank God for all he's given us. I mean, if you do that once a week and every day, give thanks to someone, because the Bible says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. And what that means is this, the benefits come every day. So the thanksgiving ought to be every day, and it ought to be to the people through whom the blessing has come. And so when God benefits you through the people around you, through people who are nice to you at store, who help you, or if you're benefited by anyone, as you count the benefits daily, you give thanks to God and to the ones through whom God sent his blessing to you. And what you'll wind up one day is with a heart that weeps easily over the difficulties of others, that feels deeply about the things that God has commanded us in the scripture, and that rejoices like a fountain of joy, because your heart has been created that way by the development of a grateful spirit, by the thanks you've given to God and to others. Let's bow our heads for prayer. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for those of you, and I know all of you could have given testimonies, and you'll get a chance later in the evening service after our potluck time. But if you're here without Christ, these next few moments are dedicated to you, that you might have an opportunity to express your gratitude for Jesus dying on the cross for you by receiving him as your Savior. This involves repentance, turning away from sin, putting your faith in Jesus, and making him the boss of your life. If you're willing to do that today, you know that you're a sinner. The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You are willing to turn away from that lifestyle. Not that you'll be perfect. You won't be. But you're going to turn away. Turn to Christ. Put your faith in him. Trust him to save you and make him the boss of your life. If you'll do those things, pray this prayer. Dear God, today I recognize I'm a sinful person. Please forgive me. Today I put my faith in Jesus. Today I'm making Jesus the boss of my life. If you're praying that prayer today, would you lift your hand up in there? Don't be ashamed to do it. Hold it up real high. Is anyone praying that prayer today? Amen. God bless you. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Brother Paul, would you offer our closing prayer, please?